Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's Health and Wellness section, published Wednesday, February 3rd. To boost immunity, focus on sleep, exercise, diet, and cutting stress, by Krishti Ashwanden, special to the Washington Post. If there has ever been a time to focus on keeping your immune system healthy, this long winter of the pandemic is it. As the ongoing coronavirus crisis hits its darkest hour yet, we have the cold and flu season to contend with too. Amid these ongoing threats, the notion that we might somehow boost our immune system with one weird trick, an herb, a supplement, a particular food, holds obvious appeal. If only it were that simple. When it comes to bolstering the immune system, a lot of people just want a quick fix or a magic pill, says Christina Porch Curran, an allergist and immunologist in private practice in Ventura County, California. Unfortunately, there's no such thing, she says. If that's disappointing, there's still some good news. The most scientifically sound approaches to keeping your immune system healthy are healthy habits that don't require you to buy pills or eat strange foods. One of the most effective ways to improve your immune system's health is by reducing stress. Researchers have known for a long time that stress can hamper the immune system, Porch Curran says. For instance, a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine back in 1991 found that when researchers gave volunteers nasal drops containing common respiratory viruses, participants who reported higher levels of psychological stress were more likely to become infected and develop symptoms of the common cold compared with people who had lower stress levels. The more stressed the volunteers were, the greater their chances of becoming sick. More recently, a 2004 review summarizing 30 years of research and more than 300 studies on stress and immunity concluded that chronic stress can cause measurable suppression of the immune system. It said that even short-term stressors, such as academic exams, can impair the body's immune response. You probably cannot eliminate stress from your life in this time of uncertainty, but anything you can do to manage or reduce it will be helpful, Porch Curran says. Uncertainty fuels anxiety, causing your mind to conjure up scary scenarios. The pandemic can magnify the angst. The Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration offers tips for managing distress during a pandemic that includes building social connections, managing negative thoughts, maintaining a sense of humor, getting outside, and finding ways to relax, such as listening to music or meditation. Meditation is a well-known approach to managing stress, and it comes with another benefit. It may also help you sleep better. A randomized, controlled trial published in JAMA Internal Medicine in 2015 found that meditation could produce robust improvements in sleep among older adults, says the study's senior author, Michael Irwin, a psychiatrist at the UCLA Geffen School of Medicine, where he directs the Mindful Awareness Research Center. Sleep is crucial to maintaining a robust immune system. We know that sleep problems, especially difficulties maintaining sleep, make you more susceptible to viral infections, Irwin says. His research has shown that even modest amounts of sleep loss can increase the production of signaling molecules that promote inflammation and make someone more prone to illness. Even one night of disturbed sleep can have an impact, he says. One phenomenon Irwin has been tracking is how healthcare workers often experience particularly serious outcomes from COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. A report published by the National Nurses United in September estimated that more than 1,700 healthcare workers in the United States have died of COVID-19. Although some of this is probably a result of them being exposed to high doses of COVID-19 in their work, Irwin also suspects that lack of sleep may play a role. We know that many of them are experiencing huge sleep debts because of scheduling and the long hours and night shifts they're working, he says. To keep your immune system healthy, it's important to maintain a regular sleep schedule, Irwin says. That means going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time every day. Go easy on the alcohol, which can interfere with sleep, especially the deep sleep that Irwin calls especially critical for your body's antiviral immune response. Exercise can also improve your sleep, according to the American Academy on Sleep Medicine. Even small amounts of physical activity can help you sleep better. But it comes with a huge added bonus. It helps your immune system become better prepared to fight off viral attacks too, researchers have found. Regular physical activity at moderate intensity, enough so that you're breathing a little harder and your heart is pumping a little faster, improves the immune system's surveillance against pathogens and reduces the chances of getting sick or dying from viral infection and respiratory illnesses, including the common cold, pneumonia, and influenza, says David Neiman, an exercise physiologist at Appalachian State University. Thus, it may reduce your chances of getting sick at all. Neiman has conducted numerous studies on exercise and the immune system. Last year, he published a review of research over the past century regarding the relationship between exercise and the body's immune defense system, which concluded that there's a clear inverse relationship between moderate exercise training and illness risk, and habitual exercise improves immune regulation. Experiments have shown that exercise stimulates the recruitment of the immune system's best fighter cells, Neiman says. What exercise does is it signals the best fighters to come out and patrol the body at a higher rate than normal. It doesn't take much to get these effects. Something as simple as a 30 to 45 minute brisk walk is enough to activate this immune response, which studies show begins during exercise and lasts several hours afterward, Neiman says. If you exercise day after day, it's like the military patrolling the countryside. You're going to keep the enemy controlled a lot better as time goes on than if you haven't done this patrolling. Neiman's review concluded that exercise is associated with a 40 to 45% reduction in the number of sick days people experience from acute respiratory infections. The research done so far has found this effect for the common cold, influenza, and pneumonia, but Neiman thinks that it's only a matter of time before we find that the coronavirus also responds in a similar fashion. Feeling midday fatigue? A short shut-eye session can help. By Galadriel Watson, special to the Washington Post. There are many habits I've gained while working from home. Snacking when desired, taking the dog for a mid-morning walk, talking to myself, and settling in for a daily nap. The last one will be especially painful to give up if or when I return to an office. My naps have become essential downtime that act as afternoon pick-me-ups. Why do my naps feel so needed and so revitalizing? And will I have to live without? I spoke to experts to get their advice. The desire to nap. There are two biological processes that contribute to daily drowsiness, says Sarah Mednick, a professor of cognitive science at the University of California at Irvine and author of Take a Nap, Change Your Life. The first system is the circadian. It prompts you to stay awake when it's light out and asleep when it's dark. In the middle of the day, it causes the hormone cortisol to start decreasing from its morning high and your core body temperature to slightly dip. Losing heat helps you fall and stay asleep. The second is the homeostatic. It makes you sleepier the longer you've been awake. As the day progresses, it continually increases your sleep pressure, causing you to have a growing need to sleep. Together, at midday, these create kind of a perfect storm that makes people tired, Mednick says. However, not all people are equally affected by these processes. Some people really experience it, and some people don't, she says. And, of course, not everyone can or does give in to it. A 2009 survey by the Pew Research Center found that on a typical day, one-third of U.S. adults nap. Needing a nap is a reflection that you haven't gotten sufficient sleep at night to address your body's need for sleep, says Lawrence Epstein, past president of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine and the clinical director for sleep medicine at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital. And chronically missing out on sleep is nothing but trouble. It affects performance, concentration, mood, Epstein says. It also affects physiological processes involved in maintaining good health, he adds, noting links to obesity, hypertension, and heart disease. Pros and cons of naps. For many people who are sleep deprived, a short shut-eye session is the ticket, Mednick says. Your mood gets better. Your creativity, your perceptual processing, your memory processing. The benefits of napping show up in study after study. Mednick has found that nappers perform as well on a pattern recognition task as people who have slept overnight. She has found that naps enhance creative problem solving. Naps can boost and restore brain power. Toddlers who nap express more joy. Adult nappers can tolerate frustration longer and feel less impulsive. Naps may help protect older people from cognitive decline and dementia. Runners can use naps to improve endurance. People who nap once or twice a week have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease. Memory is better after a nap. And on it goes. On the other hand, many people can't tolerate naps and feel groggy when they wake up. This may be because they go into heavy, slow-wave sleep, which is the deepest stage of sleep, making it difficult to return to the waking world. Naps can also disrupt that night sleep. Naps tend to be kind of a double-edged sword, Epstein says. If you're sleeping during the daytime, you're going to sleep less at night. Daytime sleepiness can also be a symptom of an underlying condition or sleeping disorder. If you're often napping or feeling sleepy during the day, try to extend your sleep at night. If that doesn't help, you should probably be checking in with your doctor or a sleep specialist, Epstein says. The pandemic's effect on sleep. Epstein has found that pandemic sleep habits have veered in two directions, better and worse, which have had an effect on naps. Many people's sleep habits have gone awry. They may be suffering from greater insomnia and poorer sleeps. Additional time in bed doesn't mean it was quality time. Stress, illness, nightmares, or a need to stay up to finish work set aside while caring for children have interrupted nightly rest, which means those people are more likely to need a nap. Others, freed from their alarm clocks, are now getting more sleep and feeling more rested, Epstein says. They, therefore, don't need a nap. Megnick says she has heard from many people who have taken up daytime snoozing. There are definitely a lot of people who are at home and think, oh, finally, I can work out when I want. I can nap when I want. I can wear what I want, she says. There are a lot of self-care choices that people suddenly have. Julia Hobswan, a British entrepreneur and writer who focuses on social health, isn't surprised that at-home workers might be napping more. Our lives, even in lockdown, tend to be full of stuff to do and endless digital distraction, the author of The Simplicity Principle says by email. Our brains start to behave like a computer which has been switched on for days on end. It gets worn out faster. As more people work from home and can regulate their days themselves, she says, I would see it as entirely positive if people begin to build in naps or a daily reset. How to nap effectively. If you're in the napping camp, Mednick suggests setting an alarm for about 20 minutes, long enough to enable you to enter stage 2 sleep. She considers this period of light sleep, in which your heartbeat and breathing slow and your muscles relax, the reset button of sleep. In a NASA study that found that naps helped pilots become more alert, 10 to 20 minutes was good. Experiment to see what refreshes you without making you groggy or ruining your bedtime. Make yourself comfortable. Lie down if possible. One study found that rest in a bed had more benefits than rest in a seat. Use an eye mask and earplugs if needed. Try to set aside your worries, perhaps by first engaging in a few minutes of mindful meditation. Breathe slowly and deeply. Concentrate on relaxing your muscles. After your nap, If you need help becoming alert, splash your face with water or step into a bright light. A caffeinated beverage might help, but not too late in the day because it could adversely affect your overnight sleep. If you've become a napper while working at home and are worried that you won't be able to nap when you return to your office, this is a great time to find out how much time you need to feel fully rested, Epstein says. Current recommendations are 7 to 9 hours a night for healthy adults. Play with your schedule to see how many hours of nightly sleep you need.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, January 30th, 2021, page 2C, opinion. Guest view. Secession talk has always been irresponsible. Now it's dangerous. Dallas Morning News. Secession is like a bad penny. It keeps turning up every few years, promoted by the most angry fringe of the Texas Republican Party. Well, here we go again. Fredericksburg Republican Representative Kyle Biederman has announced plans to file a bill in Austin calling for a referendum on Texas statehood. Mostly, Texans just ignore this nonsense, as they should. But given the unrest we've seen recently, it may be time to point out what a colossally bad idea this is. First, it's illegal. That much has been proven by Texas itself. In 1869, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in a case called Texas versus White that the U.S. Constitution provides no legal means of exit for member states. States aren't members of the Union until they change their mind. They are part of a bond the court called indestructible and the Pledge of Allegiance calls indivisible. In 2006, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia reaffirmed that bond when he wrote, quote, "If there was any constitutional issue resolved by the Civil War, it is that there is no right to secede," end quote. Biederman has been promoting his silly idea, and himself, of course, at every opportunity, appearing on Newsmax, Glenn Beck, and a Fox affiliate in Austin. He has gathered almost 7,000 signatures on a petition. He uses Britain's recent departure from the European Union as an example. But Texas is not Britain, and the USA is not the EU. The European Union is a loose association of nations that join together with pre-existing protocols for a member to exit. Article 50 of the Treaty on European Union states that, quote, "Any member state may decide to withdraw from the Union in accordance with its own constitutional requirements," end quote. The U.S. Constitution contains no such off-ramps. Even if we ignore the law and adopt this unpatriotic plan, there are other problems here. Secession would be massively expensive. If it were to become a nation, Texas would have to establish its own military, its own citizenship and immigration laws, not to mention new taxes. If Biederman's fancy were to become reality, it would almost certainly mean a Texas income tax. We agree with Plano Representative Jeff Leach, who wrote on Twitter, quote, "Based on what you've said the bill does, it seems like the most anti-American bill I've seen in my 4+ terms in the Texas House. It's a disgrace to the Lone Star State. The very definition of seditious. A true embarrassment," end quote. Talk of secession is irresponsible at any time, but just weeks after insurrectionists stormed the Capitol in Washington, the timing couldn't be worse. If Biederman doesn't want to be an American anymore, that's his right. If he wants to move Texas toward an income tax, he's free to promote that agenda and even convince a few thousand people to join him. If he's more comfortable in a place like California, where endless referendums have crippled progress, Southwest Airlines is booking flights. But none of those are good reasons for Texas to leave the United States.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, January 30, 2021. Viewpoints. Don't mess with Texas. Governor Greg Abbott reads and then signs an executive order helping the oil and gas industry Thursday during a roundtable discussion about the industry at Cudd Energy Services in Odessa. Thank you, Governor Abbott, for coming to the Permian's defense. Stuart Doreen. sdoreen@hurstmp.com. If Democrats are going to challenge Governor Greg Abbott, they better come forward with someone more serious than Beto O'Rourke. Abbott showed this week that he's not taking his orders from those in Washington, New York City, or the West Coast. And that is important, because 2022 will be about what's best for Texas. And if Beto O'Rourke or any other Democrats want to make the case that an all-out assault on the energy industry is the way to win elections, well, good luck with that. The fact is, it likely doesn't matter who will be on the ballot, because barring something unforeseen, the 2022 governor's race is Governor Greg Abbott's to lose, and that is okay with me. When the Permian Basin needed to see a leader step up and tell our residents that he has our back, that is what Abbott did. As oil editor Mela McEwen reported, Abbott is familiar with defending Texas against Washington overreach, filing more than 30 lawsuits as Texas's attorney general before becoming governor against the Obama administration. And the governor was correct. It's wrong for this president or anyone else to act like they can end a person's job today and that person will get another job. That's not how the real world works. That is how President Biden thinks. Good luck defending that. There are some who believe Abbott might have to defend himself from the political right in a primary challenge. Some believe he made enemies with his use of executive orders during the COVID pandemic and should have called a special session. I think the discussion is a good one, but let's be honest. There weren't Republicans beating down the doors of Governor Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, or former House Speaker Dennis Bonin demanding that special session. It was interesting that those calls typically came from people in the comfort of their respective districts. There will be a push, possibly from a high-profile Republican, claiming that the most conservative governor our state has known isn't conservative enough. They will say that Abbott, a former attorney general and member of the Texas Supreme Court, doesn't know the Constitution. They might follow the lead of Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller and call Abbott's cure worse than the disease. The Republican Party will follow Miller at its own risk. We don't know who that person will be. Maybe it will be Texas GOP Chairman Alan West, who will be in Midland on February 11. Maybe it will be someone closer to home. Ector County Republicans voted to censure the governor. That person might have the support of Midland's mayor, who's had choice words for Abbott during the pandemic. Time will tell. But Midlanders should rally around the governor. He tasked Texas Transportation Chair J. Bruce Bug, Jr., to make sure the region had additional road funding required to keep up with our needs. We expect the governor will remain committed to past investment announcements. Let's also not forget that while political snipers, even those connected to the Republican Party, were trying to pick off the governor, he was spending millions of dollars supporting down-ballot candidates, especially judges, during the most recent election cycle. He also spent his time during his 2018 election not talking about his campaign, but encouraging people to vote for Senator Ted Cruz and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick when they were fighting for their political lives. It was selfless leadership that we don't see enough of in today's toxic, me-first political arena. We expect our statewide leaders to continue to have the back of our region. We know Midland and the Permian Basin provides so much to the state. That will continue to be the case, even during our downturns and during pandemics. Democrats don't want to tell you that. Oil production and natural gas production's tax collections are projected to generate a combined $10 billion, up 10.1% and 66.9% respectively from 2020 through 2021, according to the Comptroller. And the Rainy Day Fund, absent any legislative appropriations, is expected to have $11.6 billion at the end of 2022 through 23. The comptroller also reports that crude oil and natural gas production taxes are the most important funding sources for the fund, contributing more than 85% of its revenue over time. So, yes, Midlanders should expect the governor to come to our defense, and that is what Governor Abbott has done.
Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 31st, 2021. Opinion. Our view. It's time to address OA lawsuit. The point. Enough is enough. End the lawsuit and produce public information in a timely manner. Follow the law. Yesterday marked a dubious anniversary for the city of Odessa. 1 year ago Saturday, the Odessa American filed a lawsuit against the city because the municipality insists on breaking state laws dedicated to allowing free and timely public access to police reports. For the past year, the city has spent more than $112,138 of taxpayers' money to prevent these same citizens from exercising their right to readily obtain certain crime reports that throughout Texas have always been considered public information. Following the 2019 Labor Day weekend mass shooting in Odessa, the city implemented a practice that requires freedom of information requests to be filed in order to obtain police crime reports and probable cause affidavits. The requirement results in delays and reports that, once they are released, are censored, sometimes heavily. This practice affected not just news reporters who rely on such reports to keep a community informed in a timely manner, but it also applied to anyone seeking these public documents. And that is a point we would like to emphasize the most to mark this sad one-year milestone. This is about your rights as a citizen, rights that are being violated by the very people you elect to serve you. Sure, the OA filed the lawsuit. That is because we take seriously laws that have been enacted in this state and country that are designed to ensure open and transparent government. Laws governing open public meetings and government records are essential to keeping government a servant of its citizens rather than their ruler. And such illegal behavior by the city in this regard is making it more difficult for us to fulfill our mission of keeping our community informed, which is also our right under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Of course, the city would like nothing more than to cast this fight as a battle against a disgruntled and mischievous news media outlet. In fact, various city officials and representatives have engaged in a whisper campaign that the newspaper merely wants access to such crime reports so it can publish scandalous details to sell newspapers and, in doing so, violate the privacy of crime victims. They are lying. This newspaper never has and never will reveal the identities of sexual assault victims and victims of crimes who are minors. We are bound by ethics and privacy issues never to do that. And remember, this illegal practice the city has adopted applies to anyone, not just a news organization. So the little lie city officials want you to buy really rings hollow. And mind you, this isn't the first time the city has been called out in court for violating the public's right to know. Just 3 years ago, the Odessa American had to file suit over the city's misuse of closed session discussions at city council meetings. Although it should never have come to that, we secured an order requiring the city to comply with the law and pay the American's legal expenses. Odessa's city council now has to record all executive session meetings due to the 2017 lawsuit. On a related note, we find it interesting that during the recent city council races, various surrogates and supporters of candidates vying to oust incumbents used this latest lawsuit as one reason why their candidates should be elected. And since their candidates' victories, those very same people have gone silent on this issue. How odd. As things stand today, we await a hearing before a state appellate court in Eastland. The city has appealed a visiting state district judge who overruled their motion to dismiss our case because they claimed the judge was not entitled to hear it. So, more legal briefs, more courtroom arguments, and more of your tax dollars being flushed down a legal drain. Your tax dollars at work against you. Hopefully, we won't be celebrating a second anniversary for your sake and for the sake of the public's right to know. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 31st, 2021, Other Voices. Letters to the Editor. First Amendment under attack. Nan Hamilton, in his letter of January 20th, proves once again that liberals have no understanding nor respect for the First Amendment right of free speech. In his letter, he castigates the Odessa American newspaper for printing George Pitt's letter of January 13th, wherein George mentions that the Second Amendment was put in the Bill of Rights to protect against governmental tyranny. In the first place, George is absolutely correct about the Second Amendment. It is not about hunting, target shooting, or gun collecting. It was for the primary purpose of protecting the people from a tyrannical government, such as England was at the time of the American Revolution. In the second place, the First Amendment right of free speech means exactly that, free speech. I have the right to say anything I want. Other people have the right to disagree with me, but they do not have the right to try to shut me up. I may suffer the consequences of my speech, but I still have the right to say it. Thirdly, free speech means that any attempts to prevent the media from reporting and repeating my speech is blatant censorship, which is in direct opposition to the right of free speech. From the moment Trump was elected, Democrats and liberals in general have attacked the First and Second Amendments in an attempt to convert America to socialism. If you don't believe it, read George Orwell's novel, 1984. Everything he writes about is exactly what the Democrats and liberals are doing right now. Also, look at Saul Alinsky's 8 Steps from Capitalism to Socialism. It is a perfect example of what the Democratic side of our government is doing. I hope all of the idiots who voted for Biden will be happy when they find out that socialism does not guarantee everyone equal happiness and prosperity, but instead guarantees everyone equal amounts of misery. Except the rulers, of course. Sandy Milner. Transgender males in sports. Transgender males in some public schools are now allowed to compete with girls in sports activities. One must now discriminate against transgender males. This, in effect, will destroy girls' sports. Speaking of discrimination, maternity wards are biased against transgender males. Transgender males should have the right to receive care in a maternity ward with women. After all, we don't. In the 40s, 50s, and 60s, when the field of psychiatry was less political, psychiatrists would have diagnosed transgender males as mentally ill, would have had them committed to a mental institution, and would have administered electroshock therapy on the temple of their heads until they snapped out of it and returned to sanity. The Democrats, socialists, and Marxists have taken over the insane asylum. George Pitts, Fort Stockton. Guest views. PHS class of 1977 loses a legend. Mike Arthur Hansen passed away on January 20th, 2021. His life, passion, and longtime love of all things mojo will be forever missed by so many. Like so many, Mike loved Permian High School, and especially his graduating class of 1977. All 700 of us. He was special to us in high school and was always a class favorite, but he also excelled in sports. Mike famously scored the game-winning touchdown on a fourth-quarter 53-yard run in the infamous Ice Bowl in 1976 against the great team of Odessa High, led by Darrell Shepard that year. But Mike became even more special after we all graduated. One of the things that made Mike unique was his absolute devotion to all his classmates. Every time a reunion year rolled around, he was ready and willing to do the tedious work of compiling all the information needed to get everyone together. Email addresses, physical addresses, memorials, number of children, and any other information he could gather would be used for him to assign the hilarious class awards. Somehow, too, he always had a gaggle of women around him full of laughter. You see, the class of 1977 was special. So many of us still stay in touch, thanks to Mike. So many of us share all of life's ups and downs, thanks to Mike. So many of us were able to catch up at the reunions, thanks to Mike. So many of us have reconnected, thanks to Mike. Unlike many classes, Mike was able to track down every single classmate. He spent hours of research doing this, never complaining, but only relishing in the accomplishment of every single classmate he found. He absolutely loved having a long-lost classmate contact him, either by phone, his favorite, or email. The joy he received from a simple phone call was amazing. And man, could he return that joy. He made everyone feel like they were the most important part of our class. Yes, the Permian High School class of 1977 was special, and possibly the most special thanks to Mike. Mike, a.k.a. Cheesy, Uncle Mikey, Mojo, was indeed an amazing man. He was injured in an automobile accident August 6, 1982, which left him a quadriplegic. This did not ever limit Mike, thanks to the very sacrificial care by his family and the invention and his mastery of the personal computer. Mike was a funny, playful, smart, football-loving jokester, always willing to make a friendly wager on his precious Panthers. His crooked smile and witty jabs made all of us laugh. The thing that made Mike the most special to us is that he made every single person who encountered him want to be better, a better friend and a better person. The future reunions of the class of 1977 will never be the same. There will always be a missing part, a part that made a difference in every one of our lives. We will never forget you, our dear friend. The entire Permian High School class of 1977. The Idle American. Something old, something new. Norman V. Horner is a retired educator who doesn't really care whether folks call him doctor or not. His distinguished career, plus his 40 articles in professional journals, and his leadership in scholarly organizations suggest that he's been worthy of his degree for a long time. A Brown County native, Horner earned AA, BS, MS, and PhD degrees, respectively, from Tarleton State, then Junior College, two from the former University of North Texas, and his doctorate from Oklahoma State University. Most of us would need help to pronounce, much less understand, all the multisyllabic words employed by this distinguished educator. He rose from the role of instructor to dean of the College of Science and Mathematics during his tenure at Midwestern State University in Wichita Falls, 1971 through 2006. Mild-mannered and Christ-centered, he is at once humble, modest, agreeable and engaging, even chuckling when folks refer to him as the Spider-Man. He has spent a couple of decades searching out spiders near Big Bend Ranch State Park, 100 miles south of Alpine, Texas, and 550 miles from his longtime home in Wichita Falls, Texas. Horner has made dozens of trips, often committing entire weekends to poking around the area. Specifically, his interest has been in araneology, the study of spiders. He agrees with Bob Hope's contention that West Texas has miles and miles of nothing but miles and miles. In the Big Bend, however, are objects of sheer grandeur, including cascading peaks, unique plants, abundant wildlife, rugged terrain, and, of course, spiders. Dr. Horner's fascination with spiders began during his master's study. Permit me to share his thesis title. Observation on the Life History of the Brown Recluse Spider, Loxosceles reclusa, Gerch, and Muliak. That was in 1967, and 4 years later, his dissertation title was The Bionomics of the Spider Metaphidipus Galathea, Wackenauer, and its significance as a biological control agent in sorghum. All this to say the man's ahead of the pack of searchers for spiders and has never once been bitten. Many scientists might side with the Yankee who visited Sweetwater, Texas for the rattlesnake roundup. He bragged about his venture to everyone and once was asked how many snakes he found. None, he answered. When you're looking for rattlesnakes, none is plenty. Greg Broussard, now a college biology prof, became deeply interested in spiders. Mentored by Dr. Horner, he made a few trips to the same digs where the Spider-Man had done most of his poking. The family of Dr. Walter Dalquest, revered colleague at Midwestern, donated 3,000 acres of land where the research center, named in his honor, was built. Broussard found a spider there he couldn't identify, so he showed it to Horner. His mentor assured Broussard that he likely could identify both the name and family of the spider if given a few days. But he couldn't. The spider taxonomist of the American Arachnological Society worked feverishly, sharing the challenge with the top national spider minds. They couldn't ID the spider either. It has been an ongoing process for 15-plus years. Finally, the society decided that Broussard had indeed found a new species, as well as a new family. There now are 120 spider families, with only 7 families discovered in the past 88 years, 1931, 40, 47, 55, 80, and 2012. So, Dr. Horner is exonerated on identification of a new spider that has been around for centuries, thus was almost stumped by a student. The retiree has won numerous faculty awards and is greatly respected by the American Araneological Society and other scientific organizations. In 2012, he and Jane, his wife of 57 years, moved to Hamilton, Texas, where they are active in church activities and tending to their farm. He still makes periodic visits to the research center that came about because of his intense interest in research there. Don Newberry. Newberry is a speaker in the Metroplex. Email newberry@speakerdoc.com. Phone 817-447-3872. Twitter @DonNewberry. Website www.speakerdoc.com. Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, January 30th, 2021. Page 2C, Opinion. Commentary. Pandemic Impacts Demand Budgeting for Texas-Sized Opportunities by A.J. Rodriguez, Texas, 2036. Due primarily to the economic slowdown caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, Texas elected officials were bracing for a $4.6 billion budget deficit. However, the Texas economy performed better than expected, and Texas Comptroller Glenn Hagar projects the state will face a budget that starts with a $1 billion deficit. Fortunately, Texas budget writers have several different opportunities to offset this deficit and leverage additional resources to meet our state's current and future needs. These include the $1 billion in proposed Texas state agency budget reductions, billions in CARES Act federal funds, and the recently passed Federal Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act of 2021. If the legislature so chooses, they can also draw on some of the $11.6 billion in the state's Economic Stabilization Fund, also known as the Rainy Day Fund. Given what our state has gone through, the health, education, and economic challenges that the pandemic has highlighted, it's time for Texas to plan to leverage every dollar we can to benefit our growing, diverse population. Examples include educating our children. We must make sure the progress made with House Bill 3 continue this session, and lawmakers focus on what they can do to address COVID-related learning loss. Last week, the Texas Education Agency released a study that indicates Texas students experienced more than 3 months of instructional loss from pandemic-led closures. When only 30% of Texas fourth graders could read at grade level, and only 44% of them are proficient at math, this learning loss could seriously impact our future generation's educational attainment. Further, the number of uninsured has increased to nearly 5 million Texans. At the same time, many Texans, both insured and uninsured, are skipping necessary care due to cost or the lack of available care options. It's critical for Texans across the state to support our elected officials in determining ways we can ensure more Texans have access to affordable care. We've learned so much about how our government performs with antiquated technology, and just how fragile our workforce can be when faced with disruption. There is no better time for us to reconsider the government structures that support our education-to-workforce pipeline so that more Texans earn living wage jobs and can meet employers' needs for skilled workers. We must prepare our Texas workforce for the future so our economy not only recovers, but grows to support nearly 10 million more Texans by our bicentennial in 2036. We also saw both the value and need for Texas to adopt a broadband plan that would allow the millions of Texans to benefit from distance learning, telehealth, and e-commerce. Action on these fronts, education, health, workforce, broadband, and government performance, will help our state move forward. Texas leaders have rightly been cautious about government spending, but today there are opportunities for Texas leaders to leverage the dollars that our taxpayers send to Austin and Washington, D.C. Lawmakers will need to spend with an eye to the future, prioritizing investments today that can benefit Texans and the more than 1,000 people moving to Texas every day, without creating unsustainable recurring costs once federal funds dry up. With only 140 days in a legislative session, our state legislators need to be prepared to leverage every resource that becomes available to help Texas today and tomorrow. It's time for every dollar to count toward a more prosperous future for all Texans. A.J. Rodriguez, a longtime business and civic leader and former Texas Association of Business chair, is Texas 2036's executive vice president. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Monday, February 1st, 2021. Opinion. National View. Hank Aaron will always be the champ. The Point. Aaron's place in history goes beyond baseball. Back before it was possible to access any bit of baseball trivia on one's iPhone, the Baseball Encyclopedia was an essential part of a stats geek's library. Turn to the player register, and it was possible to see the complete big league statistics of anyone who ever played. How fitting that the very first name in the register was Henry Louis Aaron. Talk about leading with your best stuff. Hank Aaron, who passed away recently at the age of 86, is no longer the all-time Major League home run leader on paper, having lost that distinction to Barry Bonds, who hit many of his homers amid the long ball onslaught of the steroid era. In the hearts of many baseball fans, though, Aaron is the champ and always will be. He batted in more runs than anyone in baseball history, a more accurate measure of a player's worth than home runs. Maybe his most remarkable statistic is one that often gets overlooked. He accumulated more total bases, one base for a single, two for a double, etc., than anyone else. Not by a mile, but by more than 12 miles. Aaron's place in history, though, goes far beyond that. In April of 1974, playing for the Atlanta Braves, he tied and then broke Babe Ruth's record of 714 career home runs. The news media attention was intense, building up over the winter after Aaron hit number 713 at the end of the 1973 season. It should have been cause for celebration, a moment as full of joy as the night 21 years later when Cal Ripken surpassed Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive games played. Leading up to the milestone, though, Aaron got so much hate mail, including death threats, that he looked back on that year as a bittersweet time at best. He needed police escorts and had to slip in and out of ballparks. Some of the animosity came from New York Yankees fans who didn't want to see the Babe's record fall to anyone, but the contents of the letters told a painful truth. Many did not want a black man to break one of sport's most cherished records. "They carved a piece of my heart away," Aaron said 20 years later in a New York Times interview. He said he kept many of those letters to remind himself and others of a darker time. Aaron was no firebrand. His Hammer and Hank nickname notwithstanding, his lifestyle and his playing style were low-key. Bobby Bregan, who managed the then-Milwaukee Braves in the mid-1960s, said of Aaron, "If you need a base, he'll steal it quietly. If you need a shoestring catch, he'll make it, and his hat won't fly off and he won't fall on his butt." He seemed an unlikely candidate for death threats, only making noise with his bat and glove. He came from humble beginnings in Mobile, Alabama, starting his pro career as a teenager in the Negro Leagues. But his talent was impossible to hide. By the age of 20, in 1954, he was a starting outfielder for the Milwaukee Braves. His home runs came relatively quietly over the years. He never hit more than 47 in a season, but he was steady, gradually chipping away at the Babe's record, outlasting other diamond stars who got more attention from the news media and the fans. He got 97.8% of the vote the first year he was eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame, causing many to wonder what motivated the other 2.2%. In interviews later in his life, Aaron seemed to express more sorrow than anger at the venom that accompanied his greatest achievement. It is hoped that some who cursed him nearly half a century ago can look back now and see the greatness to which they were blinded at the time. The Freelance Star.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Cholesterol reading needs review. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 52-year-old female. During my annual exam this year, my fasting cholesterol came back at 217. I usually come in around 170 to 180. I am not overweight, do not smoke, eat well, not a lot of fatty foods, and exercise on a daily basis by walking 1.5 to 2 miles. In the note given to me by my doctor, she stated to start practicing better habits to reduce the level, except I am already doing it. My mother does have some signs of heart disease at 75. Am I at risk? What other things could I be doing to reduce this number? MLM. Answer. It is wise not to get too upset about a single reading, especially when multiple readings have been less concerning. Like all body functions, cholesterol levels change somewhat from day to day and even within the same day. Eating well and exercising regularly are good pieces of advice, but if you are already doing so, then your doctor should carefully evaluate your risk to decide whether medication is appropriate. This means looking at several cholesterol results and the different types of cholesterol, especially HDL and LDL. I would be very surprised to find your risk high enough to recommend medication, even with a mother with heart disease at 75, which is not a major risk factor.
Woman's boyfriend preoccupied with her previous relationship. Dear Abby, for Friday, February 5th. Dear Abby, my sister Darby and I are in our 20s and confused about the relationship she is in. She's 23 and has been dating a 22-year-old man. They fight a lot because he can't stop talking about her ex-boyfriend. He says he visualizes her having sex with him and is frustrated with himself for not being able to get the images out of his head. Is there a name for this particular problem, and how can Darby work with it? Supportive sis in the West. Dear Sis, yes, actually, there are two names for this condition. They are obsession and jealousy, and both are signs of potential control issues. Stay close to your sister and be there for her, because this young man's behavior is a red flag. Darby and her boyfriend are both adults. I assume neither came to the relationship wrapped in cellophane. His fixation should not be hers or yours to fix. Because he can't get the images out of his head, he should schedule a few sessions with a licensed psychotherapist, since his problem will continue the longer he is in the dating world. Dear Abby, I moved in with my boyfriend 6 years ago. A year ago, his adult daughter decided she would have all her internet purchases sent to his home. Abby, these packages arrive every day, all week long. I'm tired of it. I think she's a spendaholic. I told him at the beginning of our relationship that I would never come between him and his daughter, but it has become a bit much. She calls him for every little thing. Now she has started asking him to help with his granddaughter's homework. I have two adult children of my own and grandchildren. Am I overreacting? I'm ready to move out and on. Over it and out. Dear Over It, before moving out and on, discuss this with your boyfriend of 6 years. His daughter seems to be unusually dependent for an adult. Is there a reason why she's doing these things? Could she be fearful that the packages she's ordering could be stolen from her porch? Does her daughter need more help academically than she is able to provide? The answers to those questions could be enlightening. After you get those answers, there will be time to make a rational rather than emotional decision about the status of the relationship you have with her father. Dear Abby, I'm a 52-year-old, single, straight male. For some reason, only men seem to be attracted to me. If I sit at a table in a restaurant or bar, a man will come over and sit next to me. If I go to the park, a man will sit next to me on the bench. Walking down the street, random men approach me. It's terrible. I'm straight. Please help. Unique problem in California. Dear Unique Problem, because you're not meeting women, try to put yourself in situations where you will meet them. Because you are consistently approached by men and you're not interested, consider asking them if they have a female relative who's single. And when you encounter a woman you think you can click with, speak up and introduce yourself.
Royal Stars, Horoscopes by Madeline Aslan. The stars in the description show the kind of day you will have. 5 stars, dynamic. 4, positive. 3, average. 2, so-so. 1, difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Aquarius and a moon in Scorpio until 12:16 p.m., when the moon enters Sagittarius. Happy birthday for Friday, February 5th, 2021. Insightful, multifaceted, and quietly eloquent, you lend grace and poise to any endeavor. This year, by working with others and giving them more patience, you succeed admirably with 2 projects. If single, make your motives clearer to others. You meet your special someone next January. If attached, there is a steady, secure quality about your love, and this year you become even more attached. Gemini is the best team player. Aries, March 21st to April 19th, 4 stars. If unable to vacation now, make plans for a future journey. It's good to daydream. You'll be drawn to reading to and find pleasure frequently in your favorite bookstore or library online. Be sensitive to messages from your body. Tonight, be good and gentle to yourself. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th, 3 stars. You're a little perplexed about the financial decisions and attitudes of others. If you feel unsettled or disappointed about this, investigate a bit. Understanding can help. Expressing your deepest desires and passions can alter your life now. Tonight, think of long-range consequences. Gemini, May 21st, June 20th, 3 stars. It's a day to be realistic about relationships and commitments. Pull away from links that inhabit or discourage you. Strengthen those which you know have potential for the future. Tonight, observe facial expressions and body language to aid in communication. Cancer, June 21st to July 22nd. 4 stars. Children surprise you with a display of kindness or creativity. This benefits your health as it draws benevolent forces. You treat an old illness or establish a more wholesome daily routine. Tonight, pets are especially important. They provide a new level of comfort and companionship. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd, 5 stars. Your social life is enlivened by invitations and visits. You impress an admirer with a kind word or note. If you want to make gifts, try penning an original story or poem. The day is relaxing and delightful. Tonight, let the good times roll. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd, 4 stars. Today sees you looking for ways to improve and protect your home. You will look critically at your residence. You add new members to your extended family and have a deepening insight into your childhood. Tonight, a move or a redecorating plan is irresistible. Libra, September 23rd, October 22nd, 3 stars. Timely responses are appreciated by others. Reassuring words from you assure security and goodwill. Keep up with prior commitments at work to protect your credibility. Complete projects in progress before considering new directions. Tonight, answer old emails and calls first. Scorpio, October 23rd to November 21st, 4 stars. Your overall attitude toward money and material values is shifting. There can be a new demand for your job skills. Explore employment possibilities. Your enthusiasm and added energy make others turn to you for inspiration and leadership. Tonight, talk to an elderly family member. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st, 5 stars. Your confident and dramatic way of expressing ideas wins you supporters. It's a marvelous day to write emails and make calls. Your efforts at sales, public speaking, or acting succeed far beyond all expectations. Tonight, catch up with old loved ones. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th, 5 stars. Today brings a rare opportunity to adjust the decisions and actions linked to the past, as it ties to the closure of old relationships. Meditate sitting on the ground or braced against a tree. Tonight, inner healing and a sense of peace are generated. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th, 5 stars. Friendly calls and emails come in from old friends. Your keen intuition assists in negotiating and sales. Those who have resisted your ideas can be won over to respond more favorably. Today also allows you to release regrets concerning a long-lost love. Tonight, relief. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th, 3 stars. Success depends upon being realistic about what you can do. Preparation and the wise management of time are a must. Put business first and double-check details to assure career stability. Tonight, just be conscientious about responsibilities and remain alert as well as flexible. Born today, writer William S. Burroughs, 1914, actress Charlotte Rampling, 1946, actress Laura Linney, 1964.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.